Here we go. Amen. I think it wasn't too long ago we talked about that we're all ministering all the time. Just depends on what we're ministering. You know? Like Vicki said, the fountain's always running. Just depends on what it's running. Whatever it takes to keep it running, then we need to make sure we do whatever it takes to keep it running clean. Things can deposit. The earth is full of negative ions. Our minds are full of negative ions. They're there. We have the mind of Christ, but it's crowded sometimes with all of the other stuff that's trying to get out. And the Holy Spirit will filter. Oh, man. He will filter and filter and filter. But we can unplug the filter. Remember when we said when we desire to be changed more than we desire to change things to fit the way we want them. In other words, when we desire to be changed more than we desire our own way. Do you ever hear yourself say things and wonder why you said them? Where did that come from? And if you've ever had that experience, some maybe haven't, but I suspect most of us have, no matter how much we wish we wouldn't have said it, we still said it. And no matter how we wish the filter would have somehow stopped that up and let the real thing come out, it doesn't make any difference, it's already come out. So then the key is to being changed, being transformed, as we talked about, by the renewing of our mind, letting God renew us. And remembering that in Romans it says that it pleases Him to renew us. Not because He doesn't like us the way we are, but just because it pleases Him. Why does it please Him? Because we like it. We like it when He changes us. We like it when we see, wow, God has done something. We like it. And as we discussed, God isn't easy on sin, but He doesn't dote on sin. He dotes on us. It's a weird parent that only sees and looks for the wrong things that a child does. It's a pretty normal parent that may not overlook them, but is more than happy to allow the child to just overcome them. No matter what they may say or what they may do, a smile, a hug, a love, just kind of fixes that. That's not just with a child, that's in any relationship. Because we want it to be joyful and peaceful. And guess what? God can make it joyful and peaceful. So he doesn't have any problem with sin. Remember we've talked about, He does not have a problem with sin. He can handle that. He's already handled sin. He's not a man. He's not like we are. It's not like He can't get over the wrongs we've done. It's like they're no problem for Him. They're easy for Him to take care of. They're a lot easier for Him to take care of than it is for us to forget them. If it wasn't easy for Him to take care of, He wouldn't have said, hey, you've got to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. And I want to forgive you. Can't you just see God doting on you? Loving you, caring for you. If we don't see God that way, we can't go on with God the way that God wants us to go on. If the only way we can see God is harsh and waiting to catch us and then waiting to catch us again and then wanting to stack it on. Last night we had a little bonfire and I was watching the fire. And it occurred to me that in order for a person to endure hell for eternity, they have to be changed as well. Mortality has to put on immortality. Think about that. All mortality has to put on immortality in order to last forever. We could not be in the presence of God without immortality on us. I mean, in His actual presence, because our earthly bodies couldn't stand it. Nobody's earthly body would be able to stand hell either. So we're all going to be changed. Now, that's not setting up a doctrine, not anything. But if you think about it, it makes sense. Because I looked at that fire and I knew I wouldn't last long in it. If I sat down in it, my wife would find charred parts of me at least. It probably wouldn't have consumed me. It probably wouldn't have cremated me, but it would have charred me terribly. But it wouldn't have charred me too terribly because I wouldn't have stayed in it long because my mortal body couldn't stand it. And so my mortal body would have enough sense to jump out of it, right? So what's that got to do with anything? I have no idea. Just something for you to think about. Why would you want to think about it? I don't know. Except to think that God changes things. And He changes everything for the better. Even when the wicked put on immortality, for a moment they're going to be immortal just before. And we don't want anybody to have the after. We want everybody to be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, everyone to experience God. Right? Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. I was reviewing. Sometimes I just like to catch up on what God's been speaking to us. And since I don't remember every word I say, I just kind of review and get revelation. But you know, one of the things that that spoke to me was what pleases you most? What thing do you get the most satisfaction out of? Is it God and the things that you do with God? Or is it the things that God does for you? Now, if you think about that, the things that satisfy you the most are Him. Because it lasts. Most of us could not even list all the things that God has done for us. Part of that is because we don't know everything He does for us. But I venture to say that He's done many wonderful things for you that if you were trying to put on a list of the things that God did for you, there'd be a lot of wonderful things that wouldn't make the list. Big things might make the list, but something that seems big to you might not be so big, really. And so the question being, you know, what brings us the greatest satisfaction in our life? Because the things that God does for us are wonderful. But He's always going to be doing things for us. Because that's the way that He is. He did things for us before we knew Him. That old hymn, He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath His cleansing blood. You know, He plunged you to victory before you jumped in. Your victory was established. Your ability, our ability to be bubbling up with the Spirit of God was put in place before we ever learned how to bubble up with it. It's always there. If that were not the case, then we wouldn't be able to overcome the not so good bubbling. Because we don't overcome it ourselves. It's there. We just make it work. To a certain extent, although God transforms us and reforms us, still, like God was showing Vicki, do everything you can to make sure you want it to keep flowing. And if that means John the filter needs cleaned, then that means John the filter needs cleaned. And John knows exactly what that means, the filter needs cleaned. This last week, John and Vicki were talking about that a water alarm went off in their basement. John didn't hear the alarm. Vicki heard the alarm. Vicki said, you need to check the alarm. It was important enough for John to go down to look. Not to say, I don't hear it. Because otherwise she would say, you don't hear anything, John. What's that? Is that right? You're trying to get that filter fixed, huh? Yeah. There isn't any need to say it. Yeah, you know, I hear that a lot too, but, you know, what I have to do is resist or just come back with something really good. No, don't want it. You know, something like when it's worth listening to, I hear it. You know, something like that. I'll try it sometime, John, just to see what it's like. But I hear most everything I need to. I can. You have to understand something that I don't need to justify it. I did. I honestly did, though. I spent, you know, the last 10 years. When did Jordan move out? 04? So I, 03? 11. I spent the last 11 years having to shut out some sounds so I could hear other sounds. And it's just a matter of getting it redirected to hear those sounds again. Okay, so let's go on with this. We talked about believing what we see. We talked about position consciousness. About having that awareness of our position in Christ. Overcoming all of those things that come in, that clutter. You know, okay, like the fountain has to overcome all the crap the birds put in the water. You know? And so it's overcoming those things and just realizing, wait a minute, I have a position. I've got this position in Christ. And there's nothing that can change that. That's my position. And out of that position, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I'm thinking in my mind I can't do anything, if I let the Spirit of God come and say, wait a minute, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's applying the truth. Applying the truth that God has given us, has promised us. It's just a simple case. It's mine to use. Do you understand that the truth is yours to use? And it's true no matter how you perform. We've got to get over performance, okay? Because when we get over performance, we'll be able to perform. Does that make sense? Because my performance can't improve my position with God, so out of my position for God, I'll perform better. But if I think my performance is improving my position, I'm crazy. Now, the Bible's full of reasons to believe that. What about Samson? We read more about Samson's failures than we do about his victories. You read Samson, and you see a few victories, but you see more of how stupid could he be. Get me that woman! You shouldn't have that. Well, I don't care. Get her for me anyway. Where you been, Samson? I've been out with whores. What's it to you, Mom? You know, I mean, that's what we find out from Samson. I know it's not written, but that's exactly what it's like. If he just said, I don't care. I want her. He shouldn't have been with Delilah, let alone let her talk him into giving him a way to cut her hair. What was the matter with him? And yet when he said, Lord, just give me one more shot, Lord. Just anoint me one more time. God anointed him. There's not one word about God saying, are you stupid, Samson? Have you noticed that your eyes got gouged out because you didn't do what I told you in the first place? Why in the world should I give you one more shot? No. He prayed. God heard him. Doesn't have to make sense to us. It's what the Word of God says. Which should give us confidence in our position. Which should give us more reason to dwell in that position because He is an awesome God. I like it where He is. You know? My children, each one, when they came to the place where, you know, it was like a passing into adulthood when they started paying for their own auto insurance. Just one more to go. But you know, it was like, wow.
Wow, when you start paying your own bills, it costs more money. Hello. What a revelation. You know? But that's okay. Because I'll tell you what, I being evil, though I'm not all the time evil, I know how to do good, give things for my children. And it isn't necessarily them who hesitates, it's me that hesitates. I don't want it to be too hard for them. There's no rush, you know. We got groceries. We're okay, you know. But there comes that day when they have to grow up. And when we grow up into Christ, we grow into the comfort and the confidence in Him. And we talked about the position of our position makes us who we are. Who we are doesn't make our position. God has made us, created us in His image. We're His children because He said so. So I'm His child. Ultimately, the more that we become comfortable with that, the more we want to imitate our Father. We don't imitate our Father to become His child. We're His child, so we imitate Him. And the more time we spend with Him, the more time we'll imitate. I remember way back, back when we were first saved, I went with Dick Dugan to go and see a ministry at part of the Vineyard. And the worship, it was just, you know, he told me, he said, now, this could be uncomfortable for you. So, you know, I said, what are you talking about uncomfortable? Might be uncomfortable for you. This is heaven for me, man. This is the way worship ought to be. You know, I mean, this is what worship ought to be. Most of it was just in the spirit. It was just singing whatever you wanted to sing. I always do that anyway. You know, until Judy gives me the right words, I'll make some up. It's a lot easier to make up songs than it is to remember them. And I like that. So anyway, we're at this, and then the guy spoke. And the guy spoke, and he sounded just like John Wimber. The same inflections, the same, you know, just sounded like him. Well, he had been ministering with him and under him for so long that he took on that. You know, if I listened to Jesse Duplantis, you know, 8 times in a row going back and forth the pier, you know, whoa, go, what's going on? I got to do it. You know, I mean, I'll get to sounding like Jesse, or I can sound like Jerry, or I can sound like James Robinson, you know, because you take on that, you just begin to, in fact, I can read their devotions and hear their voice because I've heard them enough, you know? Okay. And so this is the thing. I want to get so that I hear God's voice. I don't know what His voice sounds like. I was telling my wife that this last week there was a big storm on Tuesday while I was at the jail. And we could hear the rain pouring down, and then there'd be this loud thunder. I'd say, pay attention, God's confirming the word here. I said, I have biblical proof of that, because once God spoke and they said they thought it thundered. So I said, really, listen. They looked at me, I said, trust me, it's in the Bible. You know, I mean, hey, I don't know why he wouldn't. I was speaking the truth. And then we talked about making adjustments, that we have to adjust. The word doesn't have to adjust. We have to adjust to believe. We have to adjust. We have to overcome, you know, the any crazy things that we might think, to just believe what the Bible says. See, that's the thing so much about religion, is you got to learn to do it the way the religion says it. And I say, why don't we do it the way the Bible says it? Well, you can't always trust the Bible. Hello, that's it for me. If I'm going to trust something, I'm going to trust the Bible. But we have a preferred way of doing it, so do I. But if it ain't the Bible, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want it to be, the Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. So if somebody don't tell me, you can't sing a new song unto the Lord. The Bible says, sing with the Spirit and pray with the Spirit. I can sing with the Spirit and pray with the Spirit. Can't do that in church. Yes, I can. I do that in any church, but I can certainly do it in this church.
I've been in this spot for a long time. You know? And anytime y'all don't want me to do that, you can all tell me to leave. I'll leave. But you won't do that because you're smart people. Because we love the Lord. John says, I'm not so sure. I don't know. Your hearing aid not working? I'm just saying. I'm just speaking facetiously for all those people that don't know. What are you suggesting? What's that got to do with this? This is all love, baby. This is all love, okay? Well, I know. It's a fool that says there is no God. It'd be a fool that didn't want me here. Oh, honey, you're just feeding my story. Okay, praise God. And then we talked about there and knowing when we're there while we're getting there and suddenly we're here. You know, that's where we want to get. Where? Wherever he takes us. There will be good. This is great. There will be better. Wherever he's going to take us. And those changes. Well, listen, those things will take place trusting. We watched that's what inspired or brought about the dream, but you know, we were talking about it. And you know, Bill Winston and Kenneth Copeland have been teaching us about prayer and about getting prayers answered. And we got to understand that those guys have a lot of things that they need specifically answered. And so what they're talking about is if you've got something specific, then go at it specifically. But there's a lot of things that get answered that we don't even know we've prayed for. And there's a lot of things that God just does because he's God. So anyway, in this dream, I'm in a line, but I don't think there's anybody in front of me. If there is somebody in front of me, I don't really see them. All I can see is I see like it's a little ticket window. It's only about this wide. And as I'm coming to it, the more closer I get to it, I'm just a little more anxious and a little more anxious and a little more anxious. And then it was obvious to me that I was right there. And then it was over. I didn't know what I was there for. You know it's kind of like, I mean, I do that all the time. I walk back into the house. What did I come into the house for? You know? But it's like, you know, I rebuke that thing. Oh, it's Alzheimer's. You know, I rebuke that. That's, you know, I mean, that's just, I have this to go for me. I think I did it when I was 5 years old, so it's nothing for me to do it 55 years later. Forget what I'm doing. That's no big deal. But the thing was, is it just, because it was so real and because it actually woke me up, I got up and I went to talk to the Lord about it. And invariably, 99% of the time when I go to talk to the Lord, I say, good morning, Lord. Because I don't know what to pray. I'm in the presence of the King of Kings. What do I have to say that can be tremendously important? You know? Especially when I want to find out something, but I don't know what I want to find out. So I'm just praying. And you know, and all of a sudden, I started to realize that what it was I was there and I felt like I had to have something. I had to know why I was there. And I didn't know why I was there. I didn't really have anything to ask. And so then I could talk in a language I understood of the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, I'm not real specific about any particular needs that I might have because I don't necessarily notice it, maybe. I said, I can be specific for other people. When other people have a need, I can be specific for them. But I said, and this is something I've said before. I'm not great at asking God for things because I don't have a lot of needs. Not anything that I'm desperate for, but I began to remember, you know, in case you haven't noticed, we have less people in the church than we have in the past. We grew up kids, we got all that, you know. And I always thought it was interesting that we have less people here, but our realm of influence has expanded tremendously. We have thousands in Africa and in the Philippines. And I can remember once mentioning to the Lord that in natural mathematics, this doesn't, you know, look good, Lord, but I'm just going to trust you because it seems like we have more responsibility with less people to cover the responsibility. And that's all I got to say about that, because if I say, you know, I mean, if I spent a lot of time thinking about that, I would get all anxious about it. And I'd be worried about God getting something done, and I'm too lazy to worry. It wears you, if you ever notice that, it just wears you out. And not only do you're not fun even to yourself, let alone the people around you, if you're worried. You know, it's like, it's just, if you're thinking about something that ain't working all the time, it just drives you crazy. And anybody else that happens to get near you. And so I said, Lord, I'm not saying if it's right, wrong, or in between, but it seems like I sort of just go with seek first the kingdom of God, and you're going to add everything to it. I'm perfectly willing to be specific if that's something, Lord. But I said, boy, I didn't like that feeling of getting up there and not knowing what I was supposed to say. And I didn't like the feeling of like there being something wrong. So, Lord, if there's something wrong with me not knowing what to say, tell me. I'll change. I will change. But at the same time, I want to qualify that, Lord, and say to you, Lord, please, you know, let's not get carried away so that I have to really get good at that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not gonna ask him to create an opportunity for me to not be able to just keep just trusting. Because blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. You know? And so we have believing, and the Bible says whoever believes that God raised Christ from the dead. Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes that God raised him from the dead. So believing is obviously, you know, that we got to do that. We got to get in there. But I believe that there are a lot of people who believe that God exists, but don't really trust him any further than they could throw him. So, God being merciful and compassionate, he's just waiting. He knows they'll come to that place. I mean, you know, the people, there's some, I was talking to people the other night at the Steps for Hope, you know, and I told Vicki, I said, you know, I came to a realization, there's a lot of people who pray for people, but really don't believe God's going to do anything. It's like they pray and they hope it worked. But we've got to be realistic, you know. Do you know that most of the people that were realistic said there was absolutely no possibility that Roger Day would ever preach? Never get saved, let alone preach. Absolutely not live to be 61 years old. I mean, let's be realistic here. You can't live the way that guy's living and expect that he's going to live much longer. They were right about that. If I didn't work myself to death, I was going to get it done a different way. So let's get real. So when we've got things like cancer, terrible thing. It is demonic. It's from hell, you know. But there's a lot of people who believe that God exists, who attend church, who would never say, I don't believe in God, but they don't believe God can really do anything about it. Why? Well, because they just don't quite trust him. See, if we pray, and praying is important. It's important to talk to God, because praying is saying to God that you're necessary. But there's people that pray that indicate to God, I don't want to put too much on your plate. I don't expect too much from you, God. I mean, everybody else is praying, so I'll pray. Somebody told Vicki this last week, that they appreciated some of the posts that I was putting on someone's site. The tone of it would be, there's not much chance of it happening, but I hope it does. You know, that's like hitchhiking, and somebody stops for you, and you say, you probably don't want to give me a ride, do you? Yeah, I really don't want to ride with you. I just want to see if you'd stop. I think that's sort of how people treat God sometimes. You know, I really don't think you can do much, but I just thought I'd see if you were there. Yeah. And God says, as long as I'm here, why don't I do something for you? Oh, that's okay. All right. Okay. There's a better car coming. You know, I mean, do you understand that? People can believe and they can pray. But is anything really happening? And then there's the doing. A lot of people can do a lot and declare that they are doing a lot for the Lord. And after they've done enough from the Lord, they check their list and they say, well, I've done this much. I'm not sure if that's enough for this, but I'll ask anyway. And then if it doesn't go the way that they thought, they say, oh, I just got to do more. But what if that little bit that they paid down, they lost, and now they got to start over doing more? I mean, because after all, if it's not enough, you know, if you make a down payment on something, you don't finish the payments, you lose the down payment. It's gone. You know, oh, gee, I got to start all over. Now that just doesn't work either. None of them work without trust, because trust is, I think it is, I think that trust is the glue that kind of holds it all together. Because do we really believe in someone we don't trust? We must first believe that He exists. Believe that He exists. Believe that He exists. I believe He exists. I just don't trust Him. I've seen too many things go wrong. Isn't that what a lot of people say? You know? Ooh, yesterday, a guy, he just used my Lord's name, and I just said, I'm sorry, you can't use His name that way. I just can't. You can't do that. He's good. And for a little bit, he kind of went on telling me that he wasn't good. You know, that's just close to me getting out and talking stronger. But I just kept saying, oh, no, He's good. If there's a problem, it's yours. He's good. I don't know exactly what I said, but he ultimately quit doing that. And I need to talk to that person some more. But I thought, you know, most of the time when you collectively tell somebody don't use God's name that way, it sort of shuts them down. It didn't shut him down at all. So he's mad at God about something, apparently. Why would you be mad at God? He's a good God. But if you don't trust Him, then you're more inclined to believe all the other things that you hear. But what if we just trust Him? If we pray believing, because we trust Him. We do not in order to be, but because we are. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't. You can't. We can't earn anything from God. But we can receive everything. And when we believe that, then we pray believing. Then the Word of God just is actually what it says. So trust in the Lord and do good. You trust in the Lord, you'll do good. Live on your land and be dependable. Enjoy serving the Lord. He'll give you whatever you ask for. Now see, enjoy serving the Lord. He'll give you whatever you ask for. If your heart says, yes, He will, you got some trust going. If your heart says, you mean whatever? Well, now you just got to dig in deeper. You see, that's what the enemy used on Eve. He said, all things? Everything? Yeah. That's what the enemy said. God have a message for us? Just turn it off. Hang up on him. Michael, never mind. He called her the other night and said, Mom, it's 10:30. Tell everybody to go home. Oh. Trust in him and he'll help you. That's what he says. He says, trust in him and he'll help you. Trust in me and I'll help you. That's what God says. When we believe, trusting, we can pray believing and trusting. And we can do knowing that God has prepared us to do good works which he prepared for us before time to do. So, see, he's got a whole bunch of things that we just need to step into. And we can step into them. If we trust him, he can change us. If we trust him, our position will be the most important thing to us. If we trust him, we'll be continually adjusting. It's not the end of the world if you have to adjust. It's not the end of the world if you have to change. It's not like we've got it all down perfect. See, that's the thing that traps some Christians. It's like, oh, I should get this right. Yeah, so what? Do it. Eventually, it'll all happen. You'll get it right. I remember the second year that we rode the motorcycle to the hills, I was riding thinking, wow, I took both of our lives in my hands when I rode out here the first year. I'm not kidding you. It's just crazy. I could feel what a difference it made. I could feel it. I'm going, whoa, I should have never been out here last year, but we lived through it. You know, there are things in our walk with God that it seems like we're a little unsteady on, and then all of a sudden we're there, and it's, oh, I can't believe that it was difficult before. How does that happen? It happens when we put our trust in the Lord. So, only you know, and God knows, where your trust level is. But don't be condemned if you find that your need level is here and your trust level is here. Because he's able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. If we can trust, you know, if we have trust the size of the seed of a mustard seed, God is into bringing us to that place where we'll trust more. He says, just trust me. He doesn't say how much. He just said, trust me. Just trust me. What you'll find is that a little trust goes a long way. And that his response turns into more trust until we come to that place where all things are possible with God. I mean, till we are a free-flowing fountain. You know, the birds enjoy it when the fountain's flowing freely. You know, they really like it. Even if they just like it to come and make more deposits, it's just, oh, it's out, you know. Vicky, our little bird over there in the cage, you know, he just waits for fresh water to just take a bath, to mess it up. Like, he's not going to take a bath in dirty water. Change my water. You know, spring up, oh well. Well, Lord, we'll stop there. And we will just say to you, God, you are trustworthy. The man who said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, take the smallest amount of trust. And just, you said, just try me. See if I won't prove myself. Lord, for us to accomplish all that you've created us to accomplish, we're going to have all our trust in you. So show us your ways and teach us your paths so that we just walk in total confidence with you. That when we have a specific need, that we will line up that need and we will pray and we will believe and we will trust. And all we can do when all we can think of is to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and just trust that you're adding everything unto us. Ah, put us in that sweet spot, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.